Well, we are taking a break in our series on divine mentors because I really have felt that God wanted to do something different today, that he wanted to speak to relationships. He wanted to speak not just to married couples, but anybody that maybe has experienced any type of brokenness, or maybe you're just in need of restoration, healing, and hope. And so this morning, we are privileged to have an incredible couple with us, and they're new friends of mine. They feel like old friends, but you know, when you just click with somebody's heart, when we were just maybe a month or so in, Gary and Charisse invited us into their home and barbecued some pork chops. And man, if you barbecue some pork chops, you're my friend automatically right there. And has had us over again and again, but have just been so hospitable and welcoming to us as we've just got to know them. And so I'm going to let them tell you about what God is calling them to do in this moment of time. But will you welcome our guests this morning, Gary and Charisse Zaleski?
If you don't mind, I'm going to just jump right into the Word. Is that okay with you this morning? I'm not going to do a lot of preliminaries. I just want the Word to speak this morning to our hearts. And if you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever you're using, go to Luke and go to chapter 15. And then I want you to focus in on one scripture with me. It's Luke 15, verse 17. Let me just have a quick word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I pray, Father, right now that you would begin to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I pray, God, that every mind right now would be held captive by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that every distraction that would come in the name of Jesus would be set aside, and that you, Lord, would become the focus of every moment from this point forward, Jesus. And I pray, God, that at the end of our time, that we would respond to your word this morning, that we would not leave the way we came, that we would submit our lives, our hopes, our dreams to you. And for everything that you do, Jesus, I give you the praise, I give you the glory, and I give you the adoration. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 15, look at verse 17 with me. It says this: when he came to his senses. Let me try that again. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. I have a question this morning. Who in the heck was he talking to? Who was he talking to? Himself. How many of you have had self-talk? No, look at me. How many of you? Am I the only one? How many of you have had self-talk and then you've talked back to yourself? How many of you have done the stupidest thing in the world and actually listened to yourself? If there could be a curtain taken back right now in this place and we could hear all of the conversations that have gone on in people's heads this morning during worship, especially during the offering. Oh, I didn't think I'd get a lot of response on that. He was talking to himself. He came to his senses, And he said, I will go. And then as soon as he came to his senses, he started talking to himself. Am I the only one in here that has ever done that? And my wife said, you're not as funny as you think you are. But then he not only speaks to himself, he begins to develop a script. There's a script that he begins to develop in his mind. Because anytime anybody wants to return to the Father, there's always another script that they develop. There's a perception they have of what it's going to be like to have to return to the Father. When you break the Father's heart, when you hurt the Father, when you squander the gifts, talents, and abilities that He has given us, and you come to your senses and you say to yourself, I have to return, the enemy gives you a script to read. And this was his script. I will set out and go back to my Father's house and say to him, here's the script. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. This is a script. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. It was his script. It was not his Father's. And I'm going to tell you that the game changer in a church and the game changer in you this morning is allowing your Heavenly Father to interrupt your script. Some of you have read a script right from the pit of hell, and you have read it so many times you believe it's actually from God the Father, and it's not. It's not his script. He desires this morning to interrupt our scripts. Some of you this morning have come to your senses and you want to return. And there's, be honest with you, there's many of us that want to return. There's people I meet all the time. Sharice and I meet people all the time, all over the country, that want to return to their Father. They've never left church, but they left the Father. They've never left the pew, but they left the church. They left the Father. They've left Him. And now they want to return. And when the prodigal son wanted to return, it says this, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Now listen to this in verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. It was the script. You've got to get this. Please get this. Some of you are going to get set free. Listen to me. Before he could say the last part of the script, make me like one of your hired servants, he was not able to say that portion of the script. His father interrupted the script right at the last. It was the third part that was interrupted. He was about to say, make me like one of your hired servants. And the father interrupted and he says, wait a minute, get the ring, get the robe. He interrupted the script. Can I tell you something? Because the last part of the script was this. Make me like God the Father. His father could never make him like a servant because he was always his son. He was never not a son. Just because he walked away, just because he broke his father's heart, he was never not a son. And so the father had to interrupt his script and say, whoa, I understand the first two, but don't ever ask me to make you something that you're not. You are my son, and I celebrate that. No, before you clap. And here's before Sharice comes up, and we share a vision that the Lord has given us to see those who have been an incredible influence in the past, who have walked away from the Father and broke his heart.
to see them come back. When a leader falls, the collateral damage within the body of Christ is enormous, let alone within their own families. We have exalted pastors to a place that they've never should have been. And then they fall, the fall is great. We have a heart for broken leaders. But I'm going to tell you this. When that leader wanted to return to his father's house, you better get this, the father had now not a problem of his returning. The father said, come on, I'll take you, just come on, come on back. There was not a problem. The problem was with the older brother. The issue for people to return to church, to return, to come back after they broke the father's heart and offended you, is never a problem with the father. It's always a problem with the older brother. We don't mind if people, you come on, we will come on back, praise God, come on back, as long as you didn't offend me. But if you offend me, you're going to have to jump some major hoops to come back. Sharice, come and join me. There's a ministry we believe that the Lord is opening up in our hearts that, and to come to real life. This is our family. But to come to real life is just an amazing thing. But as a result of this, Sharice and I over the years have had many, 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 many pastors, leaders stay at our home who have been broken. And we've watched them restored. But the biggest reason we're doing this is because you're looking at two people. Many of you know our story. Who broke the father's heart in 1989. And we've been on a forgiveness tour for 30 years. God restored us. He's restored us, not to where we were. He has restored us to where he's always wanted us to be. So share the vision, baby.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know how I love a microphone. Everybody here knows how I love a microphone. So 30 years ago, Gary and I went through a situation where we were the prodigal. And we returned to our senses, and we returned back to the Father, and that was a glorious and a profound moment. The struggle has been is to get through the older brother. And God has put a burden in our hearts to help other leaders in ministry, in leadership, who have gone through a weariness or a wounding, and bring them back to the place of restoration. And so for 30 years, Gary and I have, we have pressed through, and had a burden to see this happen. And about 2 years ago, it is a long story, and you, if you know me, I could tell you, but I'm going to spare you that long journey.
Oh, honey, don't.
No, I could use about 50,000 words in 1 hour and still have more room to go. But God is resetting our life. As Pastor talked about, as having August as a reset. There, Gary has we've just hit a few milestones on the calendar for you. And at a time where a lot of people might be retiring, God is refiring and putting us in a position to reset the button.
Are you saying that I'm old?
You're older than me.
I would use the word mature. I'm mature.
You are vintage. And so... He is vintaged. But that is what brings the sweetness to the situation. And a little over 2 years ago, Gary was on the phone with another pastor, and I heard that they were just talking, and I walked by, and I heard him say, "More obey." And the moment he said, "More obey," I knew that we were called to minister in this town. And Gary got off the phone, and I said, "Gary, we're called to minister in that city." And he said,
"Except you didn't know that it was a city. I thought it was a fish."
I did not know what Morro Bay was. And he said, "Do you even know where Morro Bay is?" I said, "I have no idea, but I know we're called to that city." And he said, "We've never been to that town. You don't even know what it looks like." I go, "I know, but I know that we're called to minister." And a few months later, we were in the area where Gary was preaching, and we drove up to the church, and it was a pretty much abandoned church. It's a church that has been forgotten. But the people of that town have not been forgotten. And that property that was dedicated to the Lord has not been forgotten. And the pastors that once led armies that have now whimpered their way to the back of the room, they're not forgotten. And God put a burden in my heart and put a burden in Gary's heart to restore that building, to restore that church, and restore that community back to the Father. And so this fall, we are going to be moving to Morro Bay, California, to a little town and to a little parsonage, but with a big vision.
How little is the parsonage?
The parsonage is 640 square feet.
Now, do you understand?
Yeah.
We're together a lot.
Yeah. It just got intensified.
Do you understand what that's going to be like for me? Hey, Charisse, what's up? Charisse, what's going on?
Yeah.
Charisse, what's up? Not that I'm not looking forward to that.
But it's a small town, and it's a small church, but with a big vision. And on that property, there is an apartment that was also abandoned. And God has given us a vision to restore that property, to restore that apartment. And we are going to bring in the wounded leaders of Northern California and Southern California. Yeah. We're going to love them back to their healing. We're going to love them back to what the place that God always saw them, not as a servant, but as a son. And so we are here because we're sharing. You are our church family. You are family. You have watched my daughter grow up. You have watched her. You have participated in our lives. And there is no place else that we would rather share that vision than this church. And Pastor has been so gracious. The moment we shared it with him, he said, "We're in. Our church is behind you." And I as someone, we have no idea what we're doing, except I'm following our God. And that's the only place I need to go, right? He goes before me. He sets a course before me. And we are excited because 48% of this town claims no adherent belief whatsoever. Nothing. But they're about to encounter Jesus. They're about to encounter Jesus in a way they did not know. And when we find we want to get to the leaders while they're weary and restore them. They don't need to go through a 30-year process that Gary and I have gone through. If they have been wounded, they don't need to go through 30 years of isolation and fighting their way through. We're going to pick them up and carry them off the battlefield and get them and help them get the surgery they need.
Amen. This, yeah. To let you know, the property there is three blocks from the Embarcadero on the ocean. And now you don't want to give anymore. Okay. Most places that pastors go to, quote unquote, be restored are places that you wouldn't even want to go. And so the property that we're talking about is strategically located for pastors and leaders of influence to be able to come and breathe. We're not asking them. They will not come to increase their vision. They're not going to come to get more work done. Their wives and themselves are not coming for any other reason than to be restored back to the Father's heart, just to spend time with the Father. That's the only reason they're coming. We want them to come, and when they drive up to the property, we want them to do this. Because our leaders need to breathe. I tell people all the time, if God hasn't asked your opinion about a leader, then don't give it. Some of you aren't laughing right now. Now, some of you are going, Most pastors in California, they did a stat not too long, a statistic, and the pastors were asked this question. If you had an opportunity to do something else other than pastor a church, would you do it? 57% of the pastors said yes. Pastors are tired. They're fried. They're burnt out. They live in a fishbowl. Their families live in a fishbowl. And it's time that we stop putting down our pastors, whether they're in this church or another church down the block. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's over. The time of speaking negative against leadership has got to come to an end. Unless you've got something better going on,
then don't say anything. Help us raise up a place where pastors can come and just breathe, become restored back to the Father, a place where they can just say, Lord, I'm back, so we can send them back on the front lines and do the battle that they have been called to. Are you with us this morning, church, on this? We need your help on this. It's not about Sharice and I. I don't want to move into a 640-square-foot parsonage. We're leaving a house that we've been in for 22 years. This is serious stuff. We're not planting a church that would be typical. How many of you know it's not going to be typical? We're turning the church into a coffee house. Hello? It's going to be used Monday through Saturday as a coffee house, and on Sunday, you just turn it around, and now it's a church, because the church is not a building. The church is the people that fill that building. That's the church. We are getting so much support from the Assemblies of God all over the place saying, there's nothing like this, and they're hoping that what's going to happen in Morro Bay will become a template that will happen all over this nation. We don't know what we're doing. We don't have a clue, do we? And yet we're going to go do this, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because what's happened in us.
Yeah.
Oh, how's that?
You know, church, so much of our walk, and we all know, is we walk by faith, not by sight. And it would be easy for Gary and I to continue in the world of the corporate speaking that Gary has mastered and God has allowed us so graciously to be in. We've been very fortunate, but we're letting go of what we know is secure. We're letting go of a career that is certain, that is affirming and financially rewarding, to say, God, we're going to go after your dreams. There's no guarantees except that your spirit goes before us. And that we have an army of believers standing shoulder to shoulder with us. We're not alone in this. And so we're excited. We're excited that we have leaders in the Assemblies of God who said, we have the first 20 pastors that we need to have come and stay in that property. They need the breath of God on them again. Will you take them? And I'm humbled. I'm humbled by that. To be able to just love on somebody in their moment, in their prodigalness. And maybe it doesn't have to be that they're prodigal. It just means that they need to feel God's breath again. Maybe their spouse, the pastor's wives. It can be a very lonely position to be a pastor's wife. And while your husband and your husband is seen as the main leader and he's busy building the church, and the wife says, I just want to hold my husband's hand again. I just want a moment with my husband. Because we have to protect the marriages of our pastors and their pastors' wives. The enemy is making a heyday with our pastors and our leaders. And if we can have a moment of bringing healing, I'm humbled. But I'm going to, church, we're just in a position, we can't do it alone. We are not, we just don't have those resources.
Like our music, whoever you are, I guess that's where I let you know to come up. Music people, come up. I'm assuming that's a clue.
Would you like me to play the piano?
Would I like you to play the piano? So anyway, I want you to stand this morning. Everybody just stand in, because we didn't come just to talk to you about Morro Bay, even though that's what's on our hearts. We're going. But there's a deeper thing that I want to talk to you about this morning, and that's you. That's the people that are standing here. I want to talk to those who've been playing the script while we were talking right now. The script was playing. Those of you who've had dreams and you've not fulfilled, you've not walked in anymore because years ago somebody hurt you or or there was a comment made, and you step back from something because you said it's too late, and the script began to play, and the script is saying it's too late, you don't have this, you can't do that. There's a script that's playing, and it's playing right now. I believe there's many people in this room, like Sharice and I. We allowed God to interrupt our script. My question is, can God interrupt your script? There's something going on. There's a call on your life. Come on, there's a call on your life. God called you. When you were a baby, when you're a child, God called you. And there's a call, and you've let it go. You've just kind of walked away, and you've let the script play to the point where now you're like, I'm good. I'm good. And you know you're not good. I believe there's an army of people in this room that need to just come to your senses. Just come to your and say, Lord, I'm coming back. It's not that you're away from the Lord. It's not that you're backslidden or that you don't love Jesus. It's not that. But you've walked away. You've walked away from something. Because the word prodigal simply means to waste. That's what it means, waste. Are you ready? You ready to return to your dream, the vision that God has put in your heart, to return to that calling that maybe you've never shared with anybody? This is something that Moira Bay is all about. It's about restoring back the very thing that was in your heart years ago. It's your turn now. It's okay. You can do this. This is about you coming to that place. So I'm going to pray. And I believe there's a lot of people that will respond and say, yeah, you know what? I know I've got to come back to a place that I know that the Lord has called me to, and I've settled in because I've listened to the script. At 66 years of old, at 66 years of age, if I can do this, so can you. Return to the call of God in your life. Return, restore, let Him restore the call on your life. You know when it was. You remember it. You remember the day. You remember the voice. You remember the feeling. The only thing that has passed is time. Let the Father interrupt your script. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's people here right now, Lord. Interrupt their script right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, interrupt their script, Father. Speak truth to them as they come to their senses. Lord, I pray, God, that they would have the courage, Lord, to go from where they are to where you've always wanted them to be. Right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, do that thing. I can't do it. You can, Lord. Speak to their hearts. Interrupt the script. Speak to them the call on their life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something really crazy. Ready? I'm going to ask you to go from where you are right now and to come up here. And why? When you're coming up here is what you're doing. You're going from the place. You're coming and you're saying, I'm going to go to where he's always wanted me to be. Come right now. Don't even hesitate. I want many of you to come. I'm returning to the call. I'm returning to the original call. Some of you right now, you're even in ministry, but you're not in the call. You're in the ministry, but you're not in doing the call. Come quickly from over here. There's people over here. You're saying, but it's too late. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. No. Don't do that. Come on. This is your moment. Don't be robbed. Break that script right now. You've allowed the enemy to tell you to become something you're not. You're not that. You're not that. You keep moving. You're not that. There's more. There's more to you. Let him interrupt the script right now. Who else? I'm going to wait about 3 minutes. Quick, come. There's people way in the back. The reason you're way in the back is because that's where you've been for years. And God wants you to go from the back to the front. Come on. It's okay. Yeah, come on. I know. I can see you. There's more.
There is more. I'm going to wait just about one more minute. There's a call. If your heart is pounding right now out of your chest, God is speaking to you. Who else? Who else? Come on. You're not in the call. You're doing everything. You're doing what you're good at, but you're not doing what you've been called to do. It's different. The call is different. It's not your gifts, talents, and abilities. God called men and women in the Bible to do things that they were not talented to do, but he equipped them. Come on. Come on. Who else? Is there anybody else? One more time. There's husbands and wives that God has called you to do something collectively, and you haven't. Come on. Just come. Just come right now. 15 more seconds. Give one more, Jesus. Just one more. Father, give me just one more. One more, Lord. Just one more. Just one more. Just one more, Jesus. Let him return. Return. One more, Father. Just one more, Father. Just one more, Jesus. One more. Don't let them spend 30 years, Jesus. Please, God. One more. One more. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands right now. And I'm not asking you to surrender by lifting your hands. I'm asking you to lift your hands like a child would to your Heavenly Father and say, Daddy, pick me up. Pick me up. I'm not asking you to surrender right now. I'm just asking you to lift your hands and see God the Father reaching down and holding you and squeezing you and holding you and squeezing you and loving you. Let him do that right now in the name of Jesus. And as he's doing that, let everything that's not you fall away right now in Jesus' name. Let it fall away. Just let it fall away. Now restore to them, Lord, the call of God on their life. Restore it now in the name of Jesus. Restore marriages right now in the name of Jesus. Restore children to their parents in the name of Jesus, and parents to the children, Father. Restore, God. Restore husbands to wives right now. Break the script of adultery. Break the script of addiction. Jesus, right now, by this power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, break the script of the evil plans that we have thought about in the name of Jesus. Break the script right now in the name of Jesus. Break the script and restore the call. Break the script and restore the call. Just give him praise right now. Just tell him how much you love him. Thank you, Lord, that in our breathing in August, Lord, in our breathing, we will breathe in you. We will breathe in you, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Do it. Do it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody, look at me right now. Look at me right now. Are you ready? Are you ready to do what God has always called you to do? Are you ready? Let's give the Lord hand right now. Pastor Dean, where are you, Pastor Dean? Come on. Thank you for allowing us to come back and be with the family.
Hallelujah.